This is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Please forgive me for being absent the last couple of weeks. I have been traveling extensively this summer and just haven't had the time to get these out to you. But we're going to pick up this week with part three of our three-part series on Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And our focus text in John 4 this week that we're going to be zeroing in on is where Jesus said to her in John 14:16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come back." Now, stop and consider this whole story for just a moment. If you need to go back and reread part one and part two, please feel free to do that. But what we find here is a woman who comes for water every day in the middle of the day instead of in the early morning when she would be there with the rest of the women in her town. And we have to ask the question, why? Why is she here at this time of day instead of with the others? In a society where women found their place beneath men, some women, we have to understand also, found themselves lower still. This woman was held in lower esteem even than her female peers. And she's here in the middle of the day to escape the social pressure of what that would have been like. And why was this woman so looked down upon? Why did others feel that they were superior to her? Well, this woman had a backstory. She had been married five times, and try to consider what this meant, not from the perspective of our gender egalitarian culture today. Today we look at a woman who might have been married multiple times, and we have a certain opinion about that. Some people do. But from a patriarchal social construct of her own time, remember that marriage then, there were some similarities between marriage then and marriage today. But there are only a few. Within first century Judaism, the social construction of marriage was significantly different. Women belonged to their husbands as little more than property. And this wasn't the type of marriage that we see taking place today. This was most apparent. The property aspect of marriage back then was most apparent in divorce. Women couldn't divorce a man, but men in this male-dominated hierarchical construction of marriage could divorce a woman. Under the Torah, they could divorce a woman for any reason they so chose. Now, in Deuteronomy 24, the Torah is also very clear that a woman could not be passed back and forth between husbands, but her present husband could pass her on to another if, for any reason, that he deemed her to be no longer desirable. Say that she burnt the food one night, or being less desirable, becoming less desirable as she aged than younger options. And this woman who we find at the well that day, she had been married. She'd been sent away. Let's say it that way. She had been rejected. She had been sent away by five men. She'd been told five times that you are not desirable. You're not wanted. We're not told what her present arrangement was, but we can at least assume that she was with a man now who here's a woman who had been told she wasn't wanted five previous times. She's with a man now just so she can simply have some type of existence in a culture that required her to be connected to a man to survive. And Jesus doesn't hold her responsible for any of this. There's no go and sin no more talk between them. There's no love the sinner, hate the sin mantra that Christians today are so famous for touting. They're simply the understanding that this woman has been the victim of a marriage institution that has gone horribly wrong. It was monogamous. Some say, well, they practiced monogamy. Well, it was monogamous, but it was no more than what Stanley Hauerwas would call serial monogamy. The kind of marriage that this woman had experienced, it only served to objectify, to dehumanize, and to degrade women to a lower status than men. And next we encounter Jesus offering her in the story this stuff that Jesus calls living water. And what Jesus offers this woman, it would answer her heart's desperate cry that which she was made for, to love and be loved. It was a water that would so satisfy her basic inmost needs that it would not only fill the deep void inside of her, but Jesus said that it would overflow. It would become a fountain inside of her. It would overflow into a beautiful force towards others, flowing out from her as a source of healing for others as well. But there was a catch to this. When she responds favorably and asks Jesus for this water, he can't just simply give it to her. The water that Jesus is offering this woman can only be experienced within the context of complete honesty and authenticity. She must come to a place where she is safe to be herself, regardless of what the other Torah observing women might say. If she is going to truly experience what Jesus extends to her or is extending to her this day, she must be given a safe place with Jesus to be who and what she is, no longer hiding, even if that means facing her past of being repeatedly told time after time that there was something wrong with her. Jesus draws her into this safe place. He says, "Go get your husband." And the woman, if you notice, she scrambles. You have to imagine her thinking, "My husband?" And she knows there's something different about this man in front of her. But the last thing that she wants this strange Jewish man to know is how many times she's been rejected and labeled as unwanted and sent away one man after another. And she comes up with this instead to say, she just says, "I have no husband." And Jesus, with a look that subtly tells her that she can trust him, says that he knows, that she's been married 5 times. And he knows that the man she's with now, that this man is just keeping her around. And there's something different that this woman sees in Jesus' eyes that day. And yes, she changes the subject, but Jesus will bring it back around. What Jesus is saying to this woman is really is the same thing he's saying to you right now today as you're listening to this. He's saying, "My love is not blind. I know everything about you there is to know. My love is not diminished by this knowledge of you. I love you and I already know everything there is to know about you." Jesus is telling you that he knew you before you even did, even the things you're still in denial about. Jesus is saying, "I know everything there is to know about you. And my offer to you of this living water is still on the table." We don't need water that will leave us thirsty. We don't need conditional love. We need the living water, the water for which we were made. We can't settle for less than that. We must have a water that satisfies our deepest human thirst. We need Jesus' living water of unconditional love, a love in which we are simultaneously fully known and fully embraced, loved, and accepted. A love that knows all there is to know about us and loves us all the more still. Whoever you are who's listening to this right now, I want you to consider what you might be hiding today. What are you not being honest about? What are you not being honest about with others, with yourself, and possibly with God? And would you like this living water too, the same unconditional love and acceptance that Jesus offered this woman at the well that day? Then it's time to enter into what I call dangerous honesty. And it's the dangerous honesty of the radically inclusive kingdom that Jesus came to bring. Whatever you are hiding, he won't turn away from it, and he won't turn away from you either. You might feel like you have to come to the well at midday to protect yourself from others' opinions, but you don't have to do this with Jesus. As a matter of fact, he's already at the well right now, waiting for you to arrive. In the past 2 decades, I have met people who have come to this place where they can be honest with God about who they are. Some, I find, are still hiding. Others are very much on this journey, but still in the process of deep introspection. And all of these stages are okay. Wherever you are at in these stages, it's okay to be there. But what Jesus would have all of us know is that first and foremost, regardless of who we are, we don't have to hide from him. His love is unconditional. He already knows, even before you do, and his offer is still on the table. His hand is still extended to you with this cup, and he's asking, are you thirsty for this water? Then come and drink, and you will never be the same. The lady at the well, she did not fit in well with the religiously valued normative social constructs of her own day either. And look at how Jesus relates to her. If you hear nothing else, hear the words of Jesus to you right now, wherever you are listening to this. My dear daughter, my dear son, I already know everything about you there is to know, and I'm still here. I won't abandon you. I love you. I've come to extend to you too the invitation to a world where worship on this mountain or that mountain is irrelevant. I'm offering you a way into a radically different world with a river of living, wet, soul thirst satisfying, radically inclusive love, not just for you, but also through you to all those around you who were made for this kind of water too. The question we have to ask ourselves this week is, do we have the courage to be honest with Jesus? The first step is to believe that Jesus really does give us a safe space to become honest with him without fear of losing him. And the next step is to believe that exactly what Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've also seen God. And that's in John 14:7-10. Heart group application this week. This week I want you to spend some time contemplating with Jesus, asking him what you might be hiding. Consider if there remains inside of you a door to that most private room of your heart that you still are keeping locked. And number two, I want you to invite Jesus into this, whatever it is, and watch what he does with it. Watch what he does next. And then I want you to journal what he shows you. And number three, in the context of Jesus' encounter with the woman at Jacob's well, I want you to share what Jesus shows you with your heart group this upcoming week. And wherever this finds you this week, keep living in love, allowing that love to also flow out of you to others around you until the only world that remains is a world where Christ's love reigns. I love you guys. I'll see you next week.